What's up, everybody? Thanks for tuning in to another fast and fun episode of Sketchbook Audio. I'm your host, Ryan Sketch. I've got a great show for you. Unfortunately, I don't have music, and there's a reason for that, and I will explain that to you as soon as we get back. So stay tuned. Okay, and we are back. Thanks for tuning in, ladies and gentlemen, to Sketchbook Audio. I appreciate it so much. I have a lot of good topics to discuss today. I think you guys are really going to enjoy today's episode. Now, unfortunately, you'll notice there wasn't any music at the start, nor is there any music right now. And that is because I found out some of these federal companies, as well as some of these companies, record producers and album labels, they're really cracking down on the rights that artists have for their music. And it doesn't matter if you're playing through YouTube or Spotify or Google Music, which is no longer available, or any other musical source. Heck, I could even own the CD or the MP3 file and play it in the background. They don't like that. So I am just trying to play it safe until I figure out another way to get music out to you guys at the start of the show. There is one way, and it's an interesting catch-22. It's if I don't set my podcast up to receive money, like from donations, then I can use Spotify. But if I keep the donation part open and you guys make small incremental donations to me or subscribe to me for a monthly fee, it's only you can do something as low as a dollar, which is great. But if I turn that on, then Spotify is not active and I can't play any music. So really sucks. And I apologize for that, because sometimes it's just kind of boring hearing me talk without a little bit of music in the background. So I'm going to try my best to get something up there for you guys, so it'll make it a little bit more entertaining. Anyways, back to the show and the heart of it. There's a couple really big things that are happening right now. And one of those, I've been talking about this for a little while now. It's the lack of auto shows and what automakers are doing to overcome that due to the pandemic. And then the other thing I wanted to talk about is a little politics. And I think I'll get that out of the way first, because it's real quick and simple. But it's going to mean a lot for the United States in particular. And it's already happening in other countries, particularly in the UK and Eastern Europe. Actually, I should say Western Europe. But there is Biden, for one, is trying to push electricity as best as he can. He wants to make a big global change in our environment, and then just the way and the type of vehicles that we see on the road. So I'm all for it. I'm not going to get too political with this, but I did want to say it's really cool that he intends to replace the entire federal fleet of over 645,000 vehicles with all electric ones made here in the United States. That's huge. I don't know what cars he intends on replacing them with. Typically, they have like Tahoes and Suburbans and Cadillacs. Those are the traditional fleet vehicles for the federal government. So what vehicles do they have in the United States that are pure electric that would meet those standards? And there's not many, but there are going to be quite a few within the next, I'd say, 5 years. For one, we already have Tesla. So he could replace all of the sedans with something like the Model 3 or the Model S. They are expensive, so it'll be interesting to see what goes on there. And they are American made. Of course, there are Chinese ones as well, but and then soon to be German ones. But I would imagine he would just fund ones built here in the United States over in California. Now, the other automaker is Faraday Future. And then you have, I just forgot the name of it, Lucid. These companies are startup companies. They don't even have any products out and available yet, although, you know, you can see what their vehicles will look like. There is also Polestar. Can't forget Polestar. Love Polestar. But I don't see too many opportunities for the government to want to use a Polestar 1, which would be fantastic. But could you imagine being chased down by an FBI agent in a Polestar 1? I can't. I would already just stop what I'm doing. Whatever it is that I'm doing, maybe possibly illegal, I'm just going to stop and accept that I am being pulled over by a Polestar 1. A Polestar 2 kind of makes sense because it's practical, it's all-wheel drive, and It's got a lot of space and it's a sedan, right? So, you know, it makes sense to get rid of like the old Continentals or some of the Cadillacs for that. Now, speaking of Cadillac, Cadillac and General Motors in general are aiming to go full electric by 2035, but right now they already have a big push to get a lot of electric vehicles out there. We have the Bolt, we have what's going to come out soon, the Bolt, the Bolt EUV, which is like a lifted version of it, an electric utility vehicle. And they have their whole Cadillac range, which is going strictly electric very soon. Then, of course, you have the Hummer EV from General Motors, or I'm sorry, GMC. I always get those confused all the time. But GMC has Hummer and it's an electric vehicle. They have a truck and then they'll have an SUV. And then there's Rivian. Rivian has a truck and an SUV. All of these, I don't particularly think would make great federal vehicles yet because they're so expensive. They're aimed more at luxury. But then again, look at the government. A lot of their vehicles are pretty plush. So it's very possible. It just depends on, I guess, the budget that he's aiming for. But it would also be a nice swift kick in the butt to companies like Ford and FCA, or now Stellantis, to really hone in on producing electric vehicles, particularly large sedans and crossovers. I think FCA would do phenomenal with the Grand Wagoneer out to replace the Tahoe and the Suburban for the federal government. And who knows, maybe they'll make a Grand Cherokee, a two-row Grand Cherokee that's like solely electric, like an EV and not a plug-in hybrid. That's the other thing. I don't think anybody yet knows whether or not Biden wants the vehicles to be 100% electric or if plug-in hybrids are acceptable as well. If plug-in hybrids are acceptable, then that opens the gates wide open because there's tons of plug-in examples out there. Volvo has a bunch. They're all branded Recharge. You know, you have Polestar, of course, which is straight up EV. General Motors has a few plug-in hybrids. Ford had quite a few, and then of course there's Toyota. But that's the question of, will Biden accept automakers' vehicles that are, you know, like Hyundai or Kia or Toyota? They're made here in America, but it's not from an American brand. So that's the questions at hand, and I'm excited to see what actually pans out from that. Because let's face it, that's where the rest of the environment is going. They're going towards electric. Nobody has really come up with a better alternative other than hydrogen. But even then, hydrogen fuel cells work in tandem with an electrical powertrain. So it's just there are emissions. Unfortunately, that emission, well, I should say, fortunately, the emission is water, pure drinkable water that you can get right from your tailpipe. It's pretty cool. But there's not many hydrogen vehicles out there. And most of them are just for lease. Honda had one. It was the Clarity, the FCEV, the fuel cell electric vehicle. And then BMW had one. Not sure if they're still working on it. Hyundai has the, it's like a large SUV. It's kind of a little bit bigger than the Santa Fe, and I can't remember the name of it right now. But and then Toyota has the Mirai, but the Mirai is a large, somewhat luxurious sedan that I don't think would make a great government vehicle. But again, who knows? We shall see. Interesting, nevertheless. Okay, now there are some big automotive news as far as designs and new vehicles that are coming out that are, you know, it's pretty exciting. And the first one I want to start with, as a segue from the electric cars, is Tesla. For 12 years, the Tesla Model S has looked almost exactly the same inside and out. They've made a couple minor touches here and there, but finally, in the year 2021, we are seeing a slightly different redesign on the exterior. It's more simplified. It looks a bit more like the Model 3. And then on the inside, it gets a giant Model 3 sized center touchscreen infotainment system. It maintains its gauge cluster, which I love. And then it gets the coolest and possibly the weirdest and most controversial update, and that is a yoke steering wheel. So a yoke steering wheel doesn't, it's not a full circle. Think of a D-shaped steering wheel that you would have, say, in like a racing car. But then you take off the top circular part, the top rounded part, and you just have a big giant U-shaped. It's really interesting because in a car like this, now that it's going to have, all these autonomous features, you don't necessarily need a full steering wheel anymore. But they're one of the few cars to do it in a production street legal vehicle. The only other vehicles that have them are racing cars, and particularly exotic ones like Ferraris and Lamborghinis. And usually they're like roadsters that just have the top cut off and very expensive vehicles. So it's interesting to see Tesla deciding to use a yoke. And it's the other interesting thing is it's not too far away from the standard steering wheel. It just looks like the normal Tesla Model S steering wheel without the top circular part. So it shouldn't be too hard for people to get used to, but if you've never seen one before and you've never touched one before, it might be a little daunting. It might catch you off guard, but the rest of the interior I think is phenomenal, and I'm really excited about the way that they went about attacking the design language on the Tesla. The biggest complaint I had with the 3 and the Y is that it's so Spartan and so minimalist that it kind of takes away, it alienates the people who actually love cars and love cars for the reason that we've loved cars for so long. And that's, you have, it could be digital, but traditionally analog gauge clusters, a steering wheel, possibly with a flat bottom, and, hopefully a stick shift or a shifter at all of any kind, whether it's automatic or paddle shifters, and just an interior that is geared towards the driver, a driver-oriented cockpit. And the Model 3 and the Model Y just don't offer that. They are tools, essentially. They are as close to a toaster oven of a car as you can get. Do they look good? Yeah, but not everybody loves minimalism. My buddy has a Tesla Model 3. He just got it, and he's not a big car guy, so I can forgive him for not considering any other vehicle. But when I look at the interior of his car, I'm just thinking, to me, I want something a bit more. To him, it was perfectly fine. In fact, he just drove across the country, there and back, and he loved it. He got to sit there, kind of chill out a little bit. I told him, do not fall asleep in the car. And if you do, do not let anybody catch you falling asleep in the car and taking pictures of you, because you probably will get busted. And he didn't. He managed to stay awake. But I can't imagine what goes on the touchscreen, because when I look at the Model S pictures that were released yesterday, it shows Netflix. And right there, front and center, is The Witcher. I would just sit there and watch The Witcher. I'm not gonna lie. If the car is level 2 or 3 autonomy, I'm just gonna sit there and watch Witcher with my hands close to the steering wheel. But remember, when you have an electric car and one that's got those levels of autonomy, you still got to be engaged with the vehicle. Not all of them are really good at doing the little things like keeping you in the lanes. And it's not necessarily the vehicle's fault. The vehicle has the tech for it. It's the roads, the infrastructure, which aren't great. And a lot of vehicles rely on those dotted lines or fully painted lines. They got to be there, otherwise the tech kind of fails. I actually just drove a Kia K5 a couple weeks ago, and I really enjoyed it. But I tested out their kind of lane keep assist and their lane tracing. And it did great until there were really big turns or really sharp turns on the highway. And if you went over a certain speed, and if the dotted lines just disappeared, then it just didn't work at all. So it's up to the automaker engineers and the program developers and these people who are developing LiDAR, radar, cameras, and all of that to make that something that's not a problem. It's a big obstacle for these cars. So my car, in fact, has adaptive cruise control and lane keep assist, but yesterday when it snowed, it failed miserably. The whole system just shut off. I was driving. It wasn't snowing really bad. It was just there was a lot of slush and water on the ground. So it just kept kicking up and hitting my camera and the the radar sensor, and it just disabled my thing, and it said, it, you know, warned me, hey, grab the steering wheel and pay attention because your adaptive cruise control no longer works. The radar is covered and needs to be cleaned off. Well, I'm not going to pull over every 5 minutes to wipe that thing off. So that's another one of those obstacles that these automakers need to really attack and solve. But back to politics real quick, Joe Biden also wants to really invest. And actually, there's a lot of senators, Republican and Democrat, that want to invest heavily in our country's infrastructure. I think part of the next stimulus plan, he wants to introduce like $1.9 trillion into redoing our infrastructure, which would be great. But hopefully he has in mind these electric cars and autonomous cars that need all of those lines and those things that it traces in order to work properly. That's how you're going to get reduced accidents. But I'm not going to get into full autonomy right now. It's coming. It's on its way. We can see with the Tesla Model S and the Model X, which it's based off of, that all of that tech is coming, and it's coming really hard. I did want to talk about the Model X real quick, and that's that they really simplified the front end, and I love it. But I'd like to hear what you guys think, because some people like that minimalist look. Some people think that getting rid of the grill is too far, it's too much. You know, we like having that face, but I think the Tesla Model X and the S do a good job of maintaining a face that's recognizable pretty easily to anybody. It's their own corporate identity, and I like it. It's simple, but it gets the job done, and it's definitely futuristic. The next car I want to talk about, and this one hit a few people pretty hard. On my Instagram, I posted some pictures of this. I re-grammed, I guess you will, some pictures of the new Mini Cooper refresh. It's a 2021, and some people just did not like it. They thought that there was just too much of a grill and not enough Mini. And I don't necessarily know what that means, but I can get the gist of it, because if you look at the previous generations, those are the ones that people resonated more with. And if you look at it and compare it to now, I can see that, you know, okay, maybe this is too much, but I like it, especially in the S trim and the SE, which is the electric version. But if you take a look, if you go over to autoblog.com, you can see pictures of all of these. I'll try to get them up on my Instagram, which is sketchbook_audio. And you guys can take a look and tell me what you think. The one thing I really like is they have these little slits on the side of the vehicle, and they're subtle gills, I guess you can call them. Hopefully they're fully functional. And if they are, they will carry air through the front end and into the brakes to cool off your brakes or to cool off some other stuff. If it was an electric car, which they do, of course, have an electric Mini, the SE, then it's probably going to go in and cool the electric motor or the batteries, which do, in fact, get pretty warm. But if you look at the base model, like the hardtop, it's just has this, they framed the whole front bumper, flattened it out real nice, but they framed what was there before with this big black, gloss black trim. And now it kind of looks like an open mouth. And a Mini Cooper already looked like it had a face. It looked like it had a big surprise look on its face with the halo angel eyes that they had. Overall, I like it. I think it's a clean design. I think it's fresh. And it definitely moves the car closer towards being an electric brand. And Mini probably will go in that direction. They're not there 100% yet. And part of the reason is because of the cost of the technology. This car is meant to be a fairly affordable vehicle. Granted, yes, you can get the Countryman and the John Cooper Works at extremely high prices, well into the 30,000s and 40,000s. So you can already see that there's an obstacle to keeping the cost down. Now, I don't remember exactly how much the Cooper SE cost, but it's pretty close to just a two-door hardtop John Cooper Works. Speaking of which, the John Cooper Works was refreshed dramatically, and it looks so good. And of course, they show it off in that legendary heritage green with the red top and the red bonnet stripes. and the little red grill accent. I love it. The only thing I wish it had is a tan interior, but maybe you can get it spec'd that way. Who knows? They didn't do too much to the interior. There's some material changes. And now instead of having an analog gauge right in front of the steering wheel, you have this nice big digital screen. The one thing that is missing based on these pictures is a stick shift. And while the automatic transmission that they have in there, which I believe is an 8-speed, maybe ZF, it's a really good transmission. You know, it's just, it's a small car and it's meant to go fast and be really, you know, engaged with. So it would be nice if they brought back the stick shift. They said that they would at some point, but who knows? It does say, as I'm reading this article, it does say that the same engines and transmission offerings as the previous generation, or just a couple years ago, will still be there, but the manual transmission will continue to be available. Thank God, because why would you drive a Mini with anything but the stick shift? I don't know, especially John Cooper's works. Now, if you could get the Mini Cooper SE with the stick shift, oh, that would be so great. Which, by the way, I found the price of it. It is $30,000, and the John Cooper works is about $34,000. Not a bad price for the car, you know, with the John Cooper one. But all the other models, they get really pricey really quick. But I like what they did with the front, and I really want to hear what you guys have to say about it, because some people don't like the oversimplification, and some people think it has too much of a face that it's kind of off-putting. Again, I like it, but minis aren't for everybody anyways. The next car I wanted to talk about real quick, because it's just kind of funny. Have you ever heard of the SSC Tuatara? If you haven't, let me give you a quick background. SSC is Steve Saleen Cars, and the Tuatara is a ancient dinosaur-related lizard. I believe they still exist, but what that has to do with this car, I have no idea, other than maybe you would find one of these lizards out in the area where Steve Saleen Motors is located. I don't know, but the fact of the matter is this car is freaking awesome. And I typically don't talk about horsepower and performance specs here on this podcast, but I wanted to give a point to this because it's insane. Their goal was to hit 300 miles per hour. They hit 286.1. The car has well over 1,000 horsepower. And to anybody keeping track, the average horsepower on cars these days is about 250, maybe 280. And that's on cars with either a turbocharged four-cylinder engine or a V6 at the minimum. You're going to get well into the 200s. But this car has well over 1,000, and it's doing 0 to 60 in less than 2 seconds, and it does 286.1 miles per hour. Oh, speaking of which, real quick, Tesla is increasing their battery size to a whopping 520-mile range. That's nuts. There's no other vehicle out there that gets 520-mile range that's electric. So that should help quell everybody's range anxiety. However, the downside is the car costs like $130,000. So that's far out of my range. Even the base model is into the 70,000s, I believe, and, you know, unattainable by my meager salary, of which I have none right now because I am still looking for a job. So for now, you guys are my job, and I'm loving every minute of it. Now, back to design. I got to hear what you guys think about the BMW M5 CS. Another performance car, yes. 627 horsepower, oh my goodness. But it's the fact that it comes with a matte green finish and gold wheels and a gold grille. It's those little details that really sell a car to me. And if I had the money for this car, which is probably around $140,000, I would buy this in a heartbeat. It's very close to the F8 green that Dodge offers, but it's got bright gold wheels that Subaru would offer. And it's just so wild for this car. The other thing that is really wild about this car is the headlights. The headlight actually has these yellowish green tints to the plexiglass where the what I would imagine are the daytime running lights or the turn signals. That's something I don't think I've seen on any car, production or otherwise. But some concept cars have gone so far as putting nice thin slices of glass inside, or plexiglass inside their headlights to give it these shark fins or these really ornate, almost looks like a circuit board kind of texture, which look great, by the way. But BMW went ahead and did it for a production vehicle. Again, it's $140,000, so it's well out of the reach of most people, but it's there, and BMW is thinking about these little details. Now, hopefully, little details like that will make its way into vehicles that the majority of us can afford, but for the 1% out there, hey, you can go and get a car that is covered in Alcantara and carbon fiber and has little green turn signals inside the headlights. Might not be for everybody, but again, how many people can afford a $142,000 car? Not I. The next car I wanted to bring up is somewhat of a tease, because we don't know too much about its plans, but I really like it, and I think this company is making leaps and strides, particularly in the performance department, and that's the 2022 Hyundai Tucson. Some people think it's a little overstyled, one of those people being me. There definitely are a lot of lines that go zigzag here and there, and in a way, they're a little bit messy. I've talked about this before, particularly with one of my friends, Nemo. He and I have differing opinions about body lines and how they should match up with one another and how they should be cohesive. For him, something like the Toyota CHR and the Toyota RAV4 are very discombobulated and disconnected. But for me, I love them. They're wild. They're crazy. I will be right back. I got to take a quick break, but stay tuned and we will be right back. All right, sketchbookers, we are back. Thank you for joining in on Sketchbook Audio. If you're just tuning in, we were talking about some of the finer details on some of the newer cars that are being released, and they seem to be coming out in very rapid succession. So it's exciting because we don't have auto shows right now. And while that's unfortunate, the good news is the automotive industry slows down for no one and no pandemic. Although we know that's not entirely true, because there are some delays that happen in the automotive industry. And, you know, it's because we have human labor workforce. If we went to entirely robots, we would have a different kind of pandemic on our hands. We would have a robot revolution, and it's all going to be led by Boston Dynamics. I swear, it's going to happen. Have you seen the video on YouTube of those three or four robots dancing? Even the dog robot gets in on it. I mean, we're all doomed. I am epically facepalming myself right now. I hope you heard that. Anyways, the last thing we were talking about was the Hyundai Tucson N-Line. And while that sounds kind of like an oxymoron, a crossover from Hyundai getting a performance variant, bear with me, because I think they have something here. Kia showed off a new Sorento, and while it looks pretty sporty, even in its GT line trim, it's not quite there yet as far as looking like, say, a BMW X3 M or a Mercedes GLC or GLA AMG. It's not quite there, but it's a step in the right direction, especially for Hyundai and Kia. And I'm excited. I'm really excited because it's affordable performance that doesn't look half bad. But I mentioned that looks are, you know, beauty is in the eye of the beholder, as they say. And this is one of those ones that some people could take it or leave it. And I mentioned that some of the lines, some of the bodywork is kind of similar to the way Toyota approached their latest RAV4. And some of the body lines don't quite match up, or so it seems. And then there's all of these little added features that, you know, you could take them or leave them. Do they really add to the design, or do they make it a little bit too convoluted, too messy? Frankly, at the end of the day, I like this car. I really do. And particularly in this wolf gray that they show it in, it's offset perfectly by the black roof, the nice full width taillights that have like these really weird, they're almost insect-like, like teeth, daggers, wings, whatever you want to call them. They look really cool. And then the wheels are just ridiculous. I don't know if they're a good ridiculous or a bad ridiculous. They are very busy. They are very detailed, but they're kind of cool. And again, seeing this on an entry level crossover like this, I'm really surprised and excited for it. The problem is, so far, this has only been shown in Europe. Now, the good news is, at least Hyundai is planning on bringing the Kona N to the United States. We do know that, and I love the Kona and the Kona N line, and hopefully the N looks just as good, if not better. It's one of those weird, funky designs that, you know, it's wild and it's weird because it's got like those bug eyes up on the hood, similar to what the Cherokee looked like for a little bit, and then the Nissan Juke. You know, and a lot of people really liked the Nissan Juke. It wasn't a fan favorite here in the United States, which is probably why it's not here in the States anymore. But interestingly enough, the Nissan Kicks, which replaced the Juke, also looks kind of funky and has headlights that go up on top of the hood. So it makes me wonder who's making the decisions on what to keep and what not to keep. And part of it, of course, is the consumer. The consumer's not buying the car, it's not selling, then why continue to make it? Well, I think Hyundai has something that is going to continue to sell just as well as it has been. The Tucson's been a pretty hot vehicle, and it's one of those vehicles that's maintained its course and has gotten better over the years. It's also grown over the years, which is both good and bad. It's good in the sense that, okay, now you have an affordable vehicle, an affordable crossover that's got a decent amount of space, but it's not huge, and you know, it ticks off all the right practical boxes. But as far as performance and handling and stuff, the Tucson was never that vehicle to do that. But with the N line, I think we might see something that is very promising. You know, maybe not so much on the Nürburgring, but certainly around town. And just even if it just looks good, that's half the battle. The seats, the inside of the vehicle, the red touches. I know I talk about it all the time. I hate just seeing all black with some red stitching, but this one actually does it really well. The red isn't just stitching. There is stitching, but there's red piping on the sides of the seat. There's a lot of Alcantara suede in the seats with leatherette bolsters. The dash even gets leather and Alcantara suede, and it looks like, nope, the steering wheel is all leather, but it's that really cool looking, I don't know if you want to call it a double spoke steering wheel. It's not a three spoke steering wheel. It's just got these really cool handles that look like they're perfect for driving a little bit spiritedly. Now, it does have the thumb and thumb pads up on the top of the steering wheel at the 9 and we'll say 2 or 10 and 2. But down below, it's got them at, we'll say, 4 and 7, 4 and 7. So it's interesting that this vehicle looks the way it does. And on the inside, I think it's a winning combination. There is a lot of gloss black, that piano black touch, but with all of the bright silver, the brushed silver, and it actually looks like real metal. And then the red stitching, and then the different contrasts between the Alcantara and the leather. I feel a little bit better about this vehicle. And I know that the Kona N is going to look very similar. It's going to have that mostly black interior. But if they throw in some extra soft touch and some nice materials, it can be a really handsome vehicle and a fun experience. My Kia is not a bad car to be in, although it's all black. What sets it off are the nice, bright, big red panels up where the door handles are, the front door handles. It has them in the back doors too. And then, of course, there's the red stitching. There's a lot of gloss black everywhere. But there's the colored speakers. They have the lights that bounce to the music and do a little disco for you. So if Hyundai does something like that and borrows it from Kia, this could be a really fun vehicle to be in. It also looks very technologically advanced. And, these aren't words that you would typically attribute to a Hyundai or a Kia prior to 2015, but now we just have to. We have to accept the fact that we live in a world where Hyundai and Kia make really good cars, at least really good looking. I don't want to get too much into this, but I have to say this because it's really surprising. The Hyundai Kona electric model was recalled, and it might be recalled again because there were engine fires, or I should say motor fires, because there's no engine in the car, but it was recalled for basically spontaneously combusting, and then they had a recall and a fix for it. But now the fix is bursting in flames. There was just a reported incident. So it's I don't want to hark on that. I don't want to like beat down on Hyundai and Kia for that because it could just be a supplier issue. But it makes me wonder if Hyundai and Kia are still plagued with these engine problems. And it'll be interesting to see what comes about from the rest of this thing. And then it'll also be interesting to see how the Kona for this new generation handles and will, perform. Hopefully they've tweaked all the bugs. It's usually that first year, the first year, year and a half, tends to have the bugs, and that's just par for the course. Thankfully, nobody's been hurt. We have lost a couple cars, but all intents and purposes, I think Hyundai has it under control. So that's the Hyundai Santa Fe N line. I think it looks really good, but I'd like to hear what you guys think about it. Leave me some comments. Go ahead and post something up on Instagram. I'll try to throw up a few pictures of this vehicle because again, it's really wild, and sometimes some of the angles, it's hard to wrap your head around where all the lines are going. And that was the thing I was talking about earlier is there should be some cohesion to the lines and where they go. They should connect. And this one kind of has this geoform appearance to it. And so it's kind of hard to see exactly where the harmony is. But overall, I think it's a good-looking vehicle. And hopefully it's as fun as the rest of their N vehicles, because the Veloster N is a phenomenal car. And the Hyundai Elantra N line was also a really fun car to drive. So we'll see how that is. The other car I wanted to talk about, oh man, there are so many. And this one's just an interesting one because I don't think it's coming here to the States, but I saw this on Autoblog, and I might consider getting one of these Ford Transit vans, but the People Mover one, the one that actually has room for people, but also has a little bit of room in the trunk and in the cab or the back area to store some stuff, because I might be starting up my automotive detail business again, but more on that later. But anyways, this company called, where is it? Carlex Design, which I think is based out of Poland. Yep. Tuned the heck out of a Ford Transit cargo van and made it look like something straight out of Fast and the Furious Tokyo Drift. It's wild. It's lowered. It's got what looks like raised wheels on them, the five spokes, big, thick, low profile tires, a lot of body work, a lot of nice red accents, and it just looks like a fun vehicle. Now, it doesn't say that there's any performance enhancements. This is all show and no go, but again, you're driving a cargo van. How much go do you expect there to be? I like it. I would get it. And frankly, I think the Ford Transit, particularly in that gold or the red here in the States, looks like a pretty good cargo van. And that's just my opinion. It's a little side note in history. I like cargo vans, and I'm planning on getting one myself here for my business. Would it be my daily? Probably not. But man, if Carlex ever brought that one over to the United States, I think I would love it. Another interesting car that's weird that we haven't seen a lot because the company has been in disarray, we'll say. A lot of scandal, a lot of money problems, yada yada. Faraday Future. Now, Faraday Future is one of those companies that, it started here in the United States. There's some Chinese involvement. Geely is involved now, but they kind of disappeared. They were on again, they were off again, they were on again, off again. And that's kind of the thing with startups. But they showed a really promising prototype. I think it's just the FF1, or I forget exactly what the prototype was called, but it was a handsome looking, sporty, I don't even know what to call it, because it's like the length of a wagon. It's sort of the height bridged between like a Dodge Journey height and a Volvo V60. But it has the luxury and the accoutrements of a Mercedes, just the highest level S-Class. So you don't really know where to put this vehicle. It's not a sedan. It's got a hatch. It's tall, but it's not so tall. You can definitely see over it. But it's not like a flat back like a typical wagon would have. It just looks wild and futuristic. And it's the future I hope will actually stick. And it's also a vehicle I would hope that Joe Biden decides, hey, I think the government needs a bunch of these, because that would be cool. And if the government, the American government, puts money into a brand like this, then, there's some positive things to come for some of these startups that are doing electric cars here in the United States. We need that. We have so many gas-powered vehicles that are just, I don't want to get too much into the politics of it because that's not what the point of the show is. But back to the design elements, you need to see a Faraday Future vehicle to really understand what is going on here. And there are so many details to this vehicle that I don't even know where to start. But first and foremost, the screens. They're everywhere. They're all different shapes and sizes, which can be good and bad. And there's a lot of contrast between the color of the accents and the materials used. Lots of leather. And then there's this really nice bronze, gold theme that goes throughout the car. One of the things I really like, and it's a technical feature that I hope we start to see in more cars for a couple reasons, but it's the camera side mirrors. And then on the inside of the car, you have mirrors that are digital screens. So in each one of the door handle pockets, there's a screen that's connected to the camera outside of the car, which acts as your rear or your side view mirror. Those cameras act in tandem and project up on your screen, and you can have like a surround view. You can see when you are your blind spot when you put on your turn signal, and it just also cuts down on your aerodynamic drag. We don't need side mirrors anymore. I honestly think we are way beyond that, but because NHTSA and the Department of Transportation say we still need them because the cameras haven't been perfected yet, I guess whatever. And interestingly enough, these Faraday Futures that they show in these pictures do have side mirrors, but they also have the camera. So it's like too much, right? But it's a really cool vehicle. It almost reminds me of a limousine. It should have some sort of livery. This should be something that you get chauffeured in, which is why I kind of made it, I compared it to the Mercedes S-Class, because it just has all these wild features that you would expect from a luxury vehicle. But on the outside, you don't know it. It almost kind of has like a Hyundai Kia-esque to it, but then a little bit of Tesla. It's just a crazy car, and I hope it succeeds. So Faraday Future, keep an eye out on them. They're about to go public soon, and that could be huge. So if you're looking for some place to invest your money and you want to do an electric car company, maybe consider Faraday Future. You also have Rivian, you have Tesla, you have oh man, what is the other one that there's a couple other one. There was one that, oh, Nikola. Nikola, think speaking of Tesla, there's Nikola. That's another company rot and scandal. And while I thought their SUV and or I'm sorry, their truck, the Badger, and their semi truck were just gorgeous looking vehicles, I don't know what's going to go there, right? The other one is Bollinger. Not a fan. It looks like a Hummer or a Wrangler that's just been stripped and given huge batteries. And it's given this high price point because why? I don't know. It's that minimalism that's so military. I don't respect it. Is from a design standpoint, I think they could do better. But if you're a person who likes a Hummer and you have to have a Hummer, but for whatever reason you grew a conscience and said, I don't want to hurt the environment anymore in my Hummer, oh, I'll get the Bollinger. Fine, go ahead. Huge footprint though. Those things are massive. Even the truck, super big. So anyways, enough about my hatred towards Bollinger. Yeah, so we have all these electric cars that are coming to the United States, and they're coming very fast, and I'm super excited about it. I talked about the Tesla Model X and the Model S getting their redesign on the interior. I think they're a really good redesign. They're very smart. They still stick with that minimalism theme, but they took it a little step further and added some form, some shape, and it still maintains its gauge cluster. Even though it's digital, it's still there. And I love that. But I would like to hear what you guys think about the yoke. It's not a full steering wheel. It is a yoke. If you wonder what a yoke is, look up F1 Racing or any other kind of like some exotic one-off Ferraris. They have a yoke. And it's basically half of a steering wheel. But it's pretty cool. And it's something that's going in the right direction for autonomous cars. I've never driven a car, like an actual car with a yoke. I have driven some go-karts. And I've done some virtual racing at home on some, you know, toy steering wheels. But that's about it. Or I should say a toy yoke. But that's about all the experience I have there. The last thing I wanted to talk about before I wrap this up is I want to do some stuff better on Instagram and here on Anchor. But I need more participation. And what I mean by that is, for example, I just did a giveaway on Instagram where I gave away a copy of one of the books that my buddy has been writing. He wrote the first book and the second book. They're out. They're available. It's called Gift of the Shaper is the first book, and then Awaken the Three is the second book. The third book is yet unannounced as far as the title goes. He is working on it. But I gave away... I have a bunch of them, so I thought it would be a good way to get some promotion out for him and for me, blah, blah, blah. But I had a giveaway. All you had to do was like the comment, follow me, follow the author, Dave Jennings, D.L. Jennings, and then tag two people in the comment. Pretty simple, right? Well, I had two people like, and then I just had to pick between the two of them. And, you know, they follow the rules. So I have my winner. I'm getting the book sent out tomorrow. But I want to do more of that. I want to entice you guys to get in on this because it could be a lot of fun. So what I'm planning on doing in the future is I'm going to start offering these prize boxes, essentially. But what they will be is full of tools and the materials you need to be a better designer. For instance, pens, rulers, paper. Possibly even a copy of I Draw Cars. I've got a bunch of them, and I want to help those who are looking to learn. While we're still in this pandemic, now's the best time to do it. I know it sucks, but it's a perfect time to broaden your horizons, learn how to do something, or learn how to do what you already do better. So that's my goal for the rest of 2021. So if you're listening, definitely check out my Instagram, sketchbook_audio. I will actually have it in the the description of this episode. I'm going to start including that on all of the descriptions. You will be able to see the link to my Instagram page, as well as links to like Autoblog and the iDraw Co. So you can get some of these tools and materials yourselves if you're interested in doing so. But if you'd like to follow along with my podcast closely, definitely check out anchor.fm. That's anchor.fm. And then just look up Sketchbook Audio, follow me, listen to my podcasts, and then you have the ability to send me a message. It's a little green box that says messages. All you have to do is click that. You can record a quick audio, ask me any questions, ask me to about a topic that you're interested in, ask me to talk about a topic that you're interested in. Maybe you need an explanation on something, or maybe you would just like to tell me something that I don't know, or correct me if I'm wrong about something, because quite frankly, I'm probably wrong about a lot of things. So yeah, definitely need that engagement from you guys. But I am seeing an uptick in listeners and followers, so I appreciate it. Thank you, because without you, this podcast really is nothing other than a silly hobby. But I like it. I enjoy it. There's so many new things coming out as far as cars go, and I'm super excited. Hopefully, in the very near future, we have Nissan is going to be showing two new cars in February. They'll be showing also the actual version of the production version of the Nissan, whatever it's going to be called, 400Z. But we're probably going to see a new Pathfinder. We're going to get the Aria is going to be at dealership soon. Next week, I want to talk about the new Nissan Rogue because I got to spend some time in it and I have mixed emotions about it. So we can talk about that. And then there are a couple other companies that will be showing their new vehicles as well. Again, back to Hyundai, they will be showing the Kona N, which I'm super excited about. I just hope to God at some point they offer a stick shift in that, because if they do, it's over. I will just go outside and set my Kia on fire and just say it happened naturally. No, I'm just kidding. I will highly consider the Kona N because I like the Veloster N, but it's just a little too small for where I'm at in life now. But if they make the Kona N with a stick shift, oh, I'm there. Jeep has the Compass, which should be revealed for its American spec very soon. They've already shown off the Euro spec and the India spec because it's going to be built in both in Italy and in India. So that's cool. We're going to be able to see the Grand Cherokee 2-row very soon. That's about to come out. The Grand Wagoneer will make its debut very soon, I would imagine, no later than March. In its production form. We've seen the concept form, but now we need to see the production form. And then there's a couple other vehicles that are going to be getting refreshes or totally new models, and it's going to be really exciting this year. The last thing I'm going to say before I go, Detroit did cancel their auto show, which would have been held in July. They moved it from the end of January, early February to July last year, but then it got canceled because of COVID. COVID be damned. And then this year they said they were going to do it if things got better. They didn't. So what ended up happening was Detroit canceled their the NIAS, North American International Auto Show, but they partnered with the Bellamoto exhibit, we'll call it, at the Pontiac. I forget what it's called. It's not Pontiac Motor Speedway. It's I'll think of it and I'll put it up on the details of this, but they are still going to have it. It's going to be in September, and they're going to take this, what is normally a really small car show, and turn it into this big, huge thing. Think Woodward Dream Cruise without the cruise aspect of it. You're going to have to get tickets. You're going to have to get, you know, they'll do social distancing. You're probably going to have to show that you got a vaccine, a bunch of things. It's still in the works. I am working on getting my press pass, or my media badge and my credentials, essentially. That's in the works. So stay tuned. Definitely check in next week on my next podcast. Oh, and also I am accepting and adopting a little puppy, and I'm super excited. I wish I had the ability to name him something related to cars. I did not. Her name will be Jade, which I still got to pick. So I'm pretty stoked about that, but has nothing to do with cars, as far as I know. Other than Jade is green, and I love green cars with tan interiors. I just need to get her a tan harness. There it is. I've solved my problem. It'll still be automotive related. Thanks, you guys, for tuning in. Remember, get out your sketchbooks. Sketch, sketch, sketch. You can download Sketchbook Pro for free. So do it. If you're learning how to sketch, if you want to learn how to sketch, do it. Follow me on Instagram, sketchbook_audio. I do live demos all the time. More than happy to do a demo for you guys by request. Just tell me what you want me to draw and I will do it. Or if you have drawings you would like me to do an overlay of, shoot them my way. I would love to help you and further your skills. That's all we have for this week. Again, thank you for tuning in. Remember, mask up, be good to one another, and we will see you guys next week.